We are back on the Bengals Beat podcast. A little post-game reaction after the Bengals drop 0-2. I'm Lindsay Patterson alongside Tyler Dragon and Charlie Goldsmith. How you guys doing?
I'm doing better than the Bengals are doing right now, being 0-2. That's 2 years in a row under Zach Taylor. The team started 0-2. It's a tough loss last night in Cleveland. I believe Joe Burrow played well enough to win that game, but the story of the game is the Bengals could not stop the run. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt ran all over that Bengals defense.
We'll get to some of those issues as well. I do think that was the Bengals' most entertaining primetime game in a while. A 2018 Thursday night game against the Ravens and a 2015 game on Monday Night Football against the Broncos come to mind. But aside from that, that was about as entertaining as it gets for the Bengals in primetime, especially compared to how they did against the Steelers on Monday Night Football last year.
Yeah, I actually called it a wild game because a lot of people, I mean, even just the social media reaction, they said, could you imagine this game if Andy Dalton's in there? And just the way they stayed in the game, all thanks to Joe Burrow. We'll go back to the defensive side right now. What's surprising to me is Nick Chubb wasn't breaking any news going into that game. They had to stop him, and they struggled. And even, Tyler, you said it, almost all of his yards were in between right and left guard. Not having Geno Atkins and Mike Daniels out there, is it going to change things? Because these guys weren't tackling anyone.
Well, yeah, Zach Taylor and a lot of Bengals defenders said it was poor gap responsibility and missed tackles. The Bengals, by my calculation, missed 11 tackles last night. But, you know, it was bigger than that. The Bengals, you know, they really missed Geno Atkins and Mike Daniels. Like you said, Nick Chubb rushed for 96 yards just between the left guard and right guard. He had 126 yards on the night, but he was killing the Bengals, you know, and inside runs. Geno Atkins, he's not going to make up for all of that, but he certainly will help. I mean, he's an 8-time Pro Bowler for a reason. The Bengals definitely missed him at defensive tackle, but we saw last year the Bengals struggled stopping the run with him in the lineup. So it's a whole lot of different reasons why the Bengals struggled running the ball, from, you know, poor gap responsibility to, you know, poor tackling. And, you know, it's just a problem that we see week in and week out from this football team. And if they don't get it together and upgrade their run defense, it is going to be another long season.
Three things to me stood out about the Bengals' run defense last night. Number one was that touchdown where I think it was Nick Chubb broke six tackles on the way to the end zone. Hubbard touched him. Bates touched him. Two of the linebackers got him near the goal line. It actually might have been stopped at the one. But still, that was the kind of play that just can't happen for a defense. And I was trying to think why so many plays like that happened, and Zach Taylor hit on it. Let me just read you who got how many snaps last night. Amani Bledsoe, who was on the practice squad a week ago, got 24 snaps. Khalid Kareem, who when he was drafted was not expected to be a contributor, got 14 snaps. Andrew Brown, a depth piece, 11 snaps. Freedom Akinmolaadon, 16 snaps. And Christian Covington, who they traded for right before the season, had 34 snaps. These are players who the Bengals are desperately relying on now without Geno Atkins and without Mike Daniels. They need those guys to help stop the run, and it hasn't happened. Another player I think is worth mentioning as well is Jermaine Pratt, who I'm pretty sure led the team in tackles in week one. He had two total tackles last night. You wonder why he wasn't in position as much to make run-stopping plays like he had done earlier in the year and last year as well. At the end of the day, it came down to Jesse Bates and Von Bell, who led the team in tackles, and that's never good when your high safeties are stopping the run. That means the running backs are getting so far up the field.
One thing I noticed last night when we talked to DJ Reader is just how he was pissed off, to be completely honest. And he says that if you're not, then you're doing it wrong. And just really said they all kind of just have to get on the same page. We listened to Von Bell this morning, also linebacker Josh Bynes. And they talked a lot about mindset. Do you guys think with just some of these new pieces, no preseason games, nobody wanted to use that as an excuse? it's just really been hard for some of them to adjust and together defensively and kind of get that chemistry going?
Well, every football team did not have a preseason. Every football team was in the same scenario as the Bengals. And, you know, you can say it's a mindset, but we saw the same problem last year with this team. So, I mean, you can't – at the end of the day, you have to just get the job done. You can say it's about mindset. You can say it's about, you know, want-to, physicality. This team has had a history of struggling against the run. And there are multiple reasons why, but the biggest reasons that stick out to my mind is, you know, one, yes, Geno Atkins was not in the game and hasn't played this season, yes. But overall, this team is not in a position to make plays on run defense, whether, like they said, poor gap responsibilities. And when they are in position, you see a lot of arm tackles and a lot of poor form in tackling. Nick Chubb had his way with arm tackles. Like Charlie said, on the touchdown run, he broke at least five tackles in that play. And, you know, by my calculation, the Bengals had 11 missed tackles in the whole game. That's just not going to get the job done, especially in a division where you have the Ravens and the Steelers, who you know are going to run the ball. And not to mention, the Bengals have Ezekiel Elliott and Saquon Barkley on their calendar too. So if they don't get this running game fixed and fixed in a hurry, you can see another season where they're winning four, at most five games, at most.
And here's why it's doubly frustrating for the Bengals. They weren't facing Ezekiel Elliott, and they weren't facing an unbelievable front line like the Dallas Cowboys have had. They were facing a Browns offensive line whose left tackle was out and that had two other starters limited in practice all week who were on the injury report, who were questionable, and who played assumingly not at 100%. And yet, despite that, I'm looking at the defensive box score right now. If you don't look at tackles, look at all of the other stats: sacks, quarterback hits, tackles for loss, interceptions, pass deflections, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries. The Bengals had one tackle for loss, one interception, one pass deflection. That means the Bengals only made three really impressive box score worthy defensive moments. They only had three of those moments last night, which for a unit that, you know, we spent so much time talking about would look better, would be more aggressive, would fit Lunarumo's scheme. Those results speak for themselves about how the Bengals defense performed last night.
Now I'm just having that Lamar Jackson gif when Jesse Bates just whiffed on him last season. I'm just having that rolling through my head. That's what last night looked like for them. So they have a lot of problems defensively that they're going to have to fix with or without Geno Atkins and Mike Daniels. The other problem, have Joe Burrow out there. Like I said, he kept the Bengals in the game offensively. The O-line, Joe was giving him credit. He had 61 pass attempts, which you can't have that ever again. They have to get the run game going. He gave his O-line credit. You can't get hit that many times in two games. If this is your franchise quarterback, and I saw this, and I'll actually take it off Twitter, they had said, look, you can develop this year. It's not about wins or losses, but you can't hurt the development of your quarterback. Look, when Joe Burrow is out there, he doesn't look like a rookie, but he can't keep getting hit game after game. And look, they don't have a whole lot of answers on their roster. They put Fred Johnson out there and they proved, you know, he shouldn't be out there. Billy Price, I was talking to someone close to him, he has the high ankle sprain. Zach Taylor confirmed it last night. It's minor, so he should be back out there and could be back at right guard when they play the Eagles next Sunday. But then you have to decide, you know, is Bobby Hart going to be your guy at right tackle? He looked better almost in game two, but that's not saying much because his ceiling's not that high. So with this offensive line and nothing's off the table, what can the Bengals do internally with what they have if they're not bringing other guys in?
Well, I do have to give Joe Burrow credit for, you know, his maturity and his leadership, because he very well could have thrown his offensive linemen under the bus last night because they did not perform well. He was sacked three times. He was hit eight and pressured 23. It was almost like Myles Garrett was living in the backfield. It was just a bad night, especially for Fred Johnson. He had a nightmarish game. What can this offensive line do? I mean, we've been saying it for years, they need to be more physical and take accountability and ownership of their one-on-one assignments. They need to win those one-on-one matchups. And far too often, they don't. It's plain and simple. We see week in and week out, the offensive line gets pushed back and gets victimized by, you know, even mediocre pass rushers. Now, obviously, we know the Joey Bosa's of the world, the Melvin Ingram's of the world, the Miles Garrett's. They're going to make plays. But when other defensive tackles and defensive ends are, you know, winning those one-on-one matchups consistently, that's when you have a problem. Now, the Fred Johnson experiment, he is better at right tackle. You know, I was surprised that the Bengals went ahead and started him at right guard in place of Billy Price. Now, Zach Taylor said Billy Price is dealing with a minor ankle injury. I would have still started him. His ankle wasn't hurt that bad for him to be inactive. So I would have started him at that right guard position and had, you know, Fred Johnson fill in if, you know, someone got injured or fill in at, you know, that tackle spot. But, you know, it was just a bad night all around for that offensive line. And Joe Burrow, for be a number one overall pick, for be a franchise quarterback, you do not want to see him running for his life out there. And it's not like the Browns have some vaunted, formidable pass rush. They pretty much have one star in defensive end Miles Garrett, and everyone else is just, you know, an average defense alignment. And it really did not look like that last night, because that pass rush was getting to Joe Burrow early and often.
On that point, Tyler, the Browns starting defensive end on the opposite side from Miles Garrett was out. And then their backup end was out as well behind him. So they're playing their third string defensive end alongside Miles Garrett for most of the game. But let's look at what the Bengals could do. So 2 weeks ago, before the season started, the Bengals addressed the offensive line room. They made a move. They used their number one waiver claim to get the best guy they could get at a position they knew wasn't a strength heading into the season. The player they got was Shaq Calhoun, who was an active week one, who seems to be, you know, below Price and Adeniji and Johnson on the depth chart. And I don't think anybody here is predicting he's going to be this huge savior at guard, but that shows you how difficult it is just to find a solution off the streets like that in the middle of the year. The best player the Bengals could have got with the number one waiver claim is someone who we're not seeing right now. So again, that shows how difficult it is to find an external solution. And also, you mentioned, Tyler, Billy Price was inactive, but the Bengals had to have or are able to have 8 active offensive linemen. So it's not like they could carry an additional guy or drop an additional guy and have more roster flexibility. They have 8 healthy guys now, and that's what they have. Aside from playing Calhoun, Adeniji, there's no more wild card option that we don't know. And lastly, I do think that a little bit lost in this is I personally want to give Zach Taylor a little credit. Playing Fred Johnson at right guard was definitely a risk. But I think that's the kind of forward thinking, the kind of risk taking you want to see for an offensive line that you're pretty sure isn't going to be one of the best in the league anyway. You know pretty much what a Billy Price is at guard. You saw him in enough games last year. Fred Johnson has not played guard yet for this team. And, you know, we all concluded he wasn't good yesterday. Billy Price was better at right guard than Fred Johnson was in week one. But I do think we'll see more tinkering over the course of the season. The Bengals did that last year as well.
The silver lining when you do look at the offensive line last night, and you could see the highlights. I know a holding call derailed a drive, but they have their left tackle so far in 2 games. I know Jonah Williams struggled a little bit early in week one, but he's starting to look like, you know, stepping up for only his second start on the offensive line. But let's go to the wide receiver room, because they are the topic today. We'll actually start with news that just really broke over the last couple of hours, and it was Auden Tate. There are reports that his agent wasn't happy that he was a healthy scratch. I was a little surprised when the inactives came out yesterday, but you do realize, look, they're dealing with injuries on the defensive side. They might want to, you know, bring this guy up and make him active when they have a loaded wide receiver room. And Mike Thomas is doing okay. I mean, he had a touchdown last night. So they made the decision to kind of healthy scratch with Auden Tate. Are you guys surprised, and do you think there's going to be any more with this kind of coming out of maybe reports that he wants traded?
Yeah, I was surprised. He was the biggest surprise of the healthy scratches last night on an active list, you know, because he had a pretty good training camp, one of the best training camps in the wide receiver room. A lot of that was attributed to AJ Green being hurt and John Ross being away. But, you know, you would think that Auden Tate would be on that, you know, 53, 55-man roster on game day. The problem, though, he is not a real big special teams contributor. And, you know, you have a receiver like Alex Erickson who is on special teams. So that's one of the reasons why. And, you know, the Bengals really like T. Higgins and wanted to get T. Higgins involved in the game. He had his first catches of his career on Thursday night. And he's kind of that Auden Tate type mold, similar type frame. Yes, he's not really as big, but he's still a big receiver. And the Bengals like him and want to get him more reps. And you saw that even affect John Ross as well. John Ross was only in for 28 snaps, I believe, last night. And T. Higgins was in for 60 snaps as a whole.
First, you have to wonder what Auden Tate could bring as a red zone target on a team that has struggled getting 7 points so often in the red zone this season and last season. The explanation we heard about why Tate was inactive was more showing faith in Mike Thomas. Joe Burrow, even last night, unprompted, said, "I thought Mike Thomas played really, really well." Went out of his way to praise the way Thomas played. And then later today, Zach Taylor was asked what he likes about Mike Thomas. Zach Taylor was more enthusiastic and praiseworthy for Mike Thomas than any other player on the roster not named Joe Burrow in his press conference today. So they clearly like what Mike Thomas brings, as Tyler mentioned. I still think that it is pivotal for this team to carry seven receivers, considering that they're only carrying three tight ends. Now they're only carrying two, even though that might change with CJ Uzama out. I think that Auden Tate provides such a unique ability to catch balls in the end zone, which we saw time after time after time in training camp, that, you know, some of his gripes are Auden Tate is a very good point.
Yeah, those red zone issues, I think, are the biggest question mark, because you have the weapons and they would have won both their games if they would have been more successful in the red zone, and they struggled. But I want to go back to T. Higgins and John Ross. T. Higgins' snap count went up 43%. John Ross's went down 54%. When you see John Ross out there, and it's not even anything surprising. If it's not injuries, it's drop passes to John Ross. And at some point, Joe Burrow, again, a guy who's not looking like a rookie out there, isn't going to throw the ball to John Ross anymore. And it almost felt like he got a little demoted in Cleveland. What did you guys think about the wide receiver room when it was T. Higgins and John Ross?
Yeah, I mean, Zach Taylor said that there's still a role on the team for John Ross. And, you know, in his 11 personnel system, you need a deep threat. And we've seen the Bengals have struggled to push the ball downfield. Joe Burrow only has one completion above 20 yards through 2 weeks. John Ross, he can help in that category, but we've seen him, you know, and Joe Burrow not be able to connect on passes. There were a couple last night where he just seemed, you know, out of position on some plays, or, you know, didn't make all, you know, 100% effort on a play. And then in week one, you know, a ball went through his hands. We could debate back and forth if it was a little long throw on Joe Burrow's side, but you know, the Bengals need a deep threat, and John Ross is probably their best one. He's just been inconsistent, and he hasn't had a good start to the season. That's just point blank, period. And he did get a little bit of a demotion last night with only 28 snaps. And you got a rookie wide receiver, a second round pick in T. Higgins, who played 60. If John Ross wants to get in the field, he better start making plays and better start, you know, having successful completions, because last night he had none.
I can't get in Joe Burrow's head, and I can't know whether or not he's, you know, looking at other options now over John Ross. But I can tell you this. Let's split up before John Ross dropped the ball in the end zone against Los Angeles Chargers and after John Ross dropped the ball in the end zone against the Los Angeles Chargers. Before John Ross dropped that pass, John Ross had more targets than any receiver except for AJ Green on the team. Ross had three targets and was someone who Burrow was consistently looking to early on. After Ross dropped that ball, Joe Burrow didn't even look at him again until that last drive in the fourth quarter. And on that pass, I actually noted this in a story on Burrow last week, Burrow literally threw the ball through his numbers to where Ross trapped the ball against his chest. It was impossible to drop. Then the very next pass, or two passes later, no, the very next pass, John Ross bobbles that ball out of bounds and it goes incomplete. Then this week, John Ross has two targets, no receptions, no yards. You have to wonder whether or not that dropped reception in the touchdown might be a turning point for John Ross's season.
And just looking at the guy who praised him during training camp, who felt John Ross was going to have a good season, the vet and AJ Green. AJ Green and John Ross after two games are healthy. And I'm sorry, I know that sounds like they should be healthy after two games, but that's a lot. You have those two wide receivers that's on the team right now, a young wide receiver room, a loaded room with depth. And AJ Green last night, you guys, he looked off. I know the overall reaction, because it's national media, is like, this guy looks old, you know, and maybe it's just because he did okay in week one and just there's a little bit, he just looked off in week two. What was wrong with AJ Green last night?
I do agree. He did look off. He only had three receptions. He was targeted 13 times. That's a 23% reception rate. But I'm not going to be prisoner of the moment. I'm not going to ring the alarms. He was hurt during most of training camp. He didn't play in any scrimmages. The chemistry between AJ Green and Joe Burrow is going to take a while. And, you know, I don't think fans or the coaching staff should be concerned. He's coming off a week in week one where he led the team in receptions and receiving yards. Last night was just a tough night. He and Joe Burrow couldn't get things going. Some of that was because Ward, the Browns cornerback who was guarding him, did a nice job in coverage. He's one of the best cornerbacks in the league in Denzel Ward. So Green is going to have, you know, some of those nights, and especially early on when he hasn't played in so long. And so that chemistry is going to take a while to develop. And he's going to get the number one opposing cornerback guarding him most of the time. So fans have to take that into account as well.
I think this is the bigger concern. I asked Zach Taylor today who, aside from Joe Burrow, he's thought played especially well over the first two games. And Zach Taylor had a very thoughtful answer, but I noticed he didn't name anybody. I think that on the entire Bengals roster, and especially the offense, you know, you could argue William Jackson and Jesse Bates on defense, but on the offense, the only players who have really played two good games so far are Joe Burrow and CJ Uzomah. And Uzomah now is out for the season. So heading into week three, Joe Burrow is your only guy who has been consistent both games this year. For example, Tyler Boyd led the Bengals in yards last night. He was pretty silent week one. Green led the offense in week one. He was pretty silent in week two. Drew Sample had a great week. T. Higgins had a great week. Neither of them did much in week one. Gio Bernard had a solid week one, didn't do much at all yesterday. And you could say very similar things about some of the offensive linemen who might have had a couple of good moments, but nothing consistent. I think that this is AJ Green's part in an inconsistent overall offense. I think the biggest concern isn't AJ showing his age, but the fact that nobody aside from Burrow now has really found a consistent stride yet.
I think you look at the last couple of games, Zach Taylor and Joe Mixon, one thing I was surprised with offensively, look, we can talk about the offensive line all day. What Joe Mixon was able to do in just the last couple of seasons with this average, below average offensive line is pretty incredible. Just the last eight games of last year. But man, he couldn't get anything going. I know you can use him as a pass catcher, but he doesn't want to take those yards away from wide receivers. And they actually started to utilize that just a little bit last night. Why is Joe Mixon struggling right now?
Well, teams are keying in on him. You knew the Browns were going to, you know, really focus in on Mixon after he rushed for 308 yards in two games on them last season. Cleveland's game plan was pretty much to take Mixon out of the game. And plus, the Bengals were playing from behind for most of the night. When you're playing catch up, oftentimes the run game suffers, and that's what happened last night. You know, the Bengals tried to get Mixon going early on in the ball game, but the Browns, they had eight men in the box, and then as the game played out, they were just playing from behind most of the contest, and Joe Burrow was dropping back to pass 61 times. That is the second most ever by an NFL rookie quarterback. You would like to see a more balanced attack than that, but the Bengals, the way the game played out is they had to throw the ball because they were playing catch up.
So I tweeted this out. In the first 26 minutes of the game, Joe Burrow had 19 rushing yards and 40 receiving yards. That is on pace for a 130-yard night. After that, he had 36 total yards to finish the game. You know, clearly not at the at the level of production that Bengals fans are used to and the Bengals front office is used to after handing him that contract. I do agree with Tyler. I don't think this is a huge story because the Bengals were playing from behind and because Joe Burrow was absolutely excellent leading the Bengals on touchdown and field goal drives after Cleveland scored. One, they didn't have much of a chance to run the ball because they were down. Zach Taylor said today, like 40 of those passes came in the last 2 minutes of the first half, plus the last 10 minutes of the second half when they were always down two scores. And the passing game was working really well. So, you know, you could chalk this up in an argument for don't pay running backs, but it was nothing that Joe Mixon was doing. The Bengals just didn't need any running back. They probably wouldn't have been handing the ball to, trying to think who some great running back is, but Bo Jackson, they wouldn't have been handing the ball to Bo Jackson because of the game situation.
Again, that was a quick reaction as the Bengals fall to 0-2 to the Browns last night, 35-30. We'll have more next week when they get ready after a little mini bye week, 10 days off. They'll assess their offensive line. They're hoping to get Geno Atkins back, Mike Daniels. Unfortunately, they do lose CJ Uzomah in the tight end room. Drew Sample is going to have to step up. Zach Taylor talked about Steven Carter. All that's to be determined, but we have plenty on Cincinnati.com. What's up there, guys?
So I have three keys. I mean, sorry, the three takeaways from last night's game. Obviously, I was very, very negative on the Bengals' run defense. And then I also have a story up today about how Joe Burrow shined, but pass protection on the offensive line. And yes, again, that run defense was the main reasons why this team is 0-2.
If you didn't check it out on Thursday, Thursday morning, I had a feature on how Zach Taylor learned to run an NFL offense. And say whatever you want about how well it's been going this season, it gives you some insight into the way the Bengals offense will operate and Zach Taylor's teaching style for Joe Burrow. And I'm sure I'll have more Bengals stories coming out this week.
Bengals are off for a couple days. They get back to it on Monday. Again, plenty on Cincinnati.com. Follow along E&Q Sports, E&Q Bengals on the Instagram. Thank you for listening to the Bengals Beat Podcast.